Our second great Yarmouth memory comes from Norfolk writer Lynn Bensley, who transports us back to wonderful memories of his grandfather Billy in the smithy and in Great Yarmouth Yarmouth Market. Here is Tony Stimson to tell us about Billy's world of radishes and raspberries.
Watching my grandfather Billy shoeing horses was a rare treat during my childhood. He rarely, if ever, allowed children into the smithy when he was working. On such occasions, the interior always remained in semi-darkness, as if to purposely add an air of secrecy to the proceedings. The little patch of daylight that was admitted came through an unshuttered window and half-opened stable door, augmented by the glow of the forge fire. This was the one time when the smithy still drew a small coterie of onlookers and passers-by. Old chums came to exchange news and gossip and relive happier times, and others were keen to witness what many already regarded as an archaic way of life, soon to be consigned to history books. On occasion, there were those who might best be called his confederates in the Freemasonry of equine lore, the horse dealer, the wheelwright, the harness maker, and, most pointedly, the farm labourers themselves, those prematurely elderly, arthritic shadows of skin and bone who once worked the land and were still turning the earth under the plough in their mind's eye. I would stand solemnly next to the quenching trough by the glowing forge and marvel as Billy examined the horse before knocking off the clenches with a buffer and drawing the nails with a pair of pincers. Removing the shoes, he would inspect each foot and clean and prepare them with rasp and paring knife. The coarse, grating sound of the rasp upon the hoof always alarmed me, as did the application of each black-heated shoe that was held against the hoof to seat it amid acrid clouds of smoke. Though I was soon to learn the hoof was insensitive and each procedure caused the animal no distress. The well-aimed and powerful kick of a frightened horse had killed several blacksmiths, and Billy himself had been injured in the past. In better days, he had kept his own horse and took his produce to the Yarmouth Market each Saturday. The fruit and vegetables were cut and carefully packed in boxes and trays and stacked upon the cart the previous afternoon, ready for an early morning start. The nine-mile drive upon an unsprung, iron-tired cart, come rain or sunshine, must have proved an arduous and uncomfortable journey under any conditions. As soon as he arrived, amid the busy throng of traders and vendors erecting their stalls, he unloaded his produce for a third party to sell on his behalf. He quietly prided himself on his ability to nurture and harvest the finest produce. Raspberries were a special favourite. A troublesome crop, he nurtured with care and attention, and Hepsie, his wife and short for Hephzibah, a portly woman with well-padded hands, gathered with a remarkable dexterity. Billy always took the trouble to examine the produce upon the stalls of his rivals to consider their points, the punnets of ripening strawberries, blackcurrants, redcurrants, gooseberries, especially the amber-coloured variety in which he specialised, the boxes and baskets of spring greens, cauliflower, new potatoes, beetroot and downy-covered broad beans. Like a jeweller seeking flaws in a precious gem, he checked the condition and colour of each specimen, always paying particular attention to spring onions in epicurean delight prized by Hepsie as much as Billy. Together they always picked the first radishes of the season and the thinnings from the onion bed in preparation for a simple eating ritual. Seated at the kitchen table, each with a round of buttered bread and the square cut-glass salt cellar between them, they dipped the salad vegetables in the cellar and savoured the crunchiness of the peppery radishes and the spiced bite of the green onions. A few moments of shared contentment. Market days were lively affairs where hordes of shoppers, bargain hunters and browsers jostled with holidaymakers while dodging barrow boys, troll carters and electric trams that crisscrossed the market square. There were always the hunger-inducing aromas of food salons selling fish and chips, fried in beef dripping, hot meaty pies and mushy peas, jellied eels, tripe and shellfish of variable range and quality. There was once a well-known Yarmouth rhyme. North, south, east, west, Yarmouth girls, they are the best. 'Cause when you kiss their greasy lips, they always taste of Yarmouth chips. Aside from greengrocers and fruiterers, there were those who sold cut flowers, plants and foliage. There were butchers, bakers, confectioners, among sundry other food merchants, as well as traders selling fancy goods, hardware, clothing, drapery and furnishing, and others offering knick-knacks, bric-a-brac and curios. Artful hawkers, cheapjacks, chiselers and wide boys peddling tad gadgets and gizmos and universal thingamabobs that one could not live without, and yet had contrived to do so up until now. Whenever Rita, my mother, accompanied Billy to market, she was equally absorbed by the spectacle of it all. She always gravitated trance-like towards those stalls selling cut flowers, plants and seedlings, tiptoeing among the tulips and light-footing it between the lupins. The flower girl would but pause only to smell the roses of Picardy and recall the sultry charm of an English country garden. She was tempted at times to dally and buy a tray or two of wallflowers and stocks, cultivated primulas and heavenly-scented pinks that were a particular favourite. If delayed attending to business or visiting customers or slaking his thirst with an ale at Bradwell's Sun or Frit and Decoy, Billy was always sure to head for home at the onset of dusk, not wishing to encounter Tom Catchpole, the phantom highwayman who travelled the road from Belton Woods to Hobland Hall after dark, or chance upon the spectre of Sam Reed, a murderous footpad who had been hung in chains on Burn the Bush Hill and left to rot as food for the crows. Billy feared no man, but any ill-boding apparitions posed a different problem for someone with a superstitious turn of mind.
Thank you, Tony.